speak to us, and he wants to exhort us, and he wants to comfort us, is a reality. God is a reality. And his love is being manifest in very many manifolding ways. And we have got a book in our hand, which is called the Word of God. And our relationship with this great and true God is personal. He wants to visit me personally. He wants to speak to me personally. And he wants to deal with me personally. And same thing with you too. He wants to visit you, he wants to speak to you, and he wants to manifest himself to you. Every one of us should have this personal experience with this living God. And how to understand him more and more, how to know about his mind and his plans and his purposes and his way of doing things, it is through this word. This is a living word. And we find here the words of life and spirit. Every word that has been recorded in this book is written by the inspiration of God. God has used very many kinds of people in various times. They used them as instruments to write this book. But they wrote this book with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God for our admonition and for our edification. So it is our burden and our prayer to make this truth known to all the people and to bring people closer to the Word of God with the ultimate intention to bring them closer to God himself. This Word connects us to God, and we can understand about him and his plans and purposes through his Word. That is the reason we come to his Word again and again, to spend our time in meditating upon the Word of God. Of course, in meetings like this, whether it is a Sunday meeting or a Wednesday meeting or some other meeting, our time is limited. Our time is limited. So our meditation also is limited. We have got a time constraint. But we should cultivate the habit of reading and reading and reading and reading and meditating upon the Word of God with a prayerful attitude, that the Holy Spirit of God may reveal things of God unto us so that we may receive the blessings of eternal value. Now, may I draw your attention to a regular portion which we have been meditating quite for a few weeks. This is from the second epistle of Peter and chapter 1 and verse 4. Second epistle of Peter and chapter 1 and verse 4. Shall we all read together? Second Peter and chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Our attention is being drawn to this verse again and again and again and again, because we also realize that these are the essentials in our spiritual lives, to know these truths and to adopt them in our own lives. Once again, I read this verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Here, to simplify this verse, actually the process is escaping from certain situation to get into a different situation. And in this process, there is a media through which we can go from one stage to another stage, just like transition. Sometimes we experience some transit halls while traveling. While traveling from Pakistan to India, or from India to America, or even domestic flights also here, sometimes we have to change some flights. So there will be a transit halt. And we get down and we take another flight and we keep going. And for our body, as it is recorded in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, verse 8, death is a transition to go from earthly to heavenly. There it is written, absent in the body to be present with the Lord. Death is really, it is not a thing to be frightened to a child of God, to a believer. It is only a transition. We leave this body here because it cannot enter into heaven. As we read from 1 Corinthians and chapter 15 and verse 50, this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We have to leave this world just like our soiled clothes. Absent in the body to be present with the Lord. It just happens in the twinkling of an eye. We close our eyes here to be with the Lord. That verse says, what a wonderful transition it is. And similarly, while we live upon this earth, even though we keep living in our physical bodies, there is also a transition in our mental attitude or a spiritual attitude to escape from a situation and to get into another situation. And what is the situation from which we are escaping? And here, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The corruption that is in the world through lust. We are living in this world, and this world is full of corruption. And we get into that through our lust, ambitious desires, or evil desires, whatever we call it. We get attracted, we get tempted, and may not be all the time to the right things, but most of the times to wrong things, wrong places, wrong persons, wrong situations, and we make our life a mess. Because this world is full of corruption. As we read from 1st epistle of John and chapter 2 and verse 16, the things that are in the world, the word of God says, they are lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, is simplified for a better understanding. And these are the things which keep on tempting us and attracting us all the time. We have to escape from these things. Even Jesus Christ, when he was upon this earth in flesh, he went through the process of temptation. As we read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, first 10 verses, he was tempted by the tempter, the evil one, the Satan. There is an evil force all the time acting. Satan is a reality. We cannot underestimate him. We cannot ignore him. All the time he is present. God is a reality. And similarly, Satan also is a reality. He's an evil one, evil force. And he has got innumerable agents or disciples, whatever we call it, various kinds of demons. And they drag people to the wrong things and to destroy people. Ultimately, to send them to eternal destruction, to a place where there is no presence of God. Because Satan cannot go to presence of God, he has been dethroned. And his ultimate place is the bottomless pit, as we read from the book of Revelation. And not only he is going to his destination, he wants to take as many people as possible to his destination. That is the reason all the time he wants to destroy the spiritual lives of the people. And in this world, there are so many things that are attracting and that are tempting people to the evil ones. As I told you, even Jesus Christ, in all the three areas, he was tempted. Lust of the flesh, because Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days, as we read in that portion, Matthew's Gospel, 4th chapter. He fasted for 40 days. He was hungry. Then the Satan came and tempted him. You are so hungry. Why don't you turn these stones into bread and eat? when we are fasting for 4 hours, we'll be so hungry, too anxious to eat something. But 40 days, and he was in the wilderness. As Mark writes in his gospel, that he was among the wild beasts. And afterwards he was tempted for food. But Jesus Christ did not do that. He said, a man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He was tempted, but he did not yield himself to do that. He was not after food. And he took him to the holy city and to the pinnacle of the temple of God. And he said, jump from here, because God has said he will send his angels to protect you. What purpose will it have to jump from the pinnacle of a temple for a popularity, for the applause of the people? It's a pride of life. There are many adventurous things people do. If we think for a while and try to meditate why these people are doing, risking their lives, it's only for popularity. They want to be acclaimed by the whole world that such and such a person has jumped from the height of several feet or several meters, whatever it is. And Jesus said, for everything, Jesus was getting tempted, but he did not yield. And he also showed all the cities, all the glory of this world. He took him to a high place. And the glory of this world and the majesty of this world, I'll give to you if you just fall down at my feet and worship me. Just one thing you do. And Jesus even did not yield to that. And he said, you cannot tempt your God. It is written, it is only to God we worship, but not to any other person. So Jesus, he was tempted, but he did not yield. Here one thing is, tempting is common, getting temptation. Getting tempted is not sin, but yielding is sin. Yielding to that temptation, getting dragged into that temptation. There are many attractions in this world, maybe for money or for fame or for popularity or for properties, whatnot. There are so many things. Or the temptations of the flesh, as we read, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. As we bring all the things into the category, into the definition of these things, getting tempted, but we have to overcome the temptation. And Jesus Christ went through all these situations. And there is a promise in the book of Hebrews, because he was tempted, and he is a faithful one to help those who are getting tempted. He is our help when we depend upon him, when we invite him into our lives, and when we keep him as our guide in every situation. It is just like when we travel by a boat in a big ocean, suddenly a storm comes, we are sure to sink in that ocean. But just imagine, Lord is there, who can rebuke the storm, who can talk to the winds and calm them. Even if you go through the ocean, a mighty ocean, you need not be afraid. Even if you are tempted, you are sure to get out of the temptation with the help of God. Here the point is the dependency on God in every situation. It is very, very essential. So here point is escaping from the world which is full of corruption. It is through lust. And James writes in his epistle, shall we see for a moment, first chapter and 14th verse, and how these temptations will come. Epistle of James and chapter 1 and verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Gets attracted and getting tempted by his own lust, by his own evil desires. So we have to keep a check in our lives. What are our ambitions? What are our desires? What for we are running, and where we are going, Is it approved by God? Will He accept our way of doing things? When we go after certain things, because Lord makes us squarely responsible even to many of our temptations, because we are going after our own lust. So here, we have to escape from this lust. We have to escape. And ultimately, where we have to go? To be the partakers of the divine nature. To be the partakers of the divine, this is a wonderful thing. This is a divine nature. Our nature is something different. This is basically human nature. And to say in another way, this is a sinful nature. Ungrateful nature. Unholy nature. And we are many times full of enmity, jealousy, hatred, pride. These are the things in our nature. We have to confess before God the reality of our nature. But God's nature, divine nature, it is something different. We have been seeing for all the 3 weeks that God is holy and He wants us to be holy. And His love is eternal and sacrificial, unselfish love. He did not love Himself, but He loved people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but shall have eternal life. What a great love it is. God sent His Son, only Son, into this world to lay down His life for our sake. And He died. He died for us. Such a sacrificial love. And God said, you have to love one another as I have loved you. The parameter is to compare our love with the love of God. And even last Sunday we have seen how there is abundance of pardon with God. God is the one who forgives. He forgives and He forgets. Once He has forgiven us, He will not remember our past life at any time. He will not bring back. He did not dig it again and bring it out. That is God's nature. And what is our nature? Sometimes even if we forgive somebody, we keep on remembering, we keep on reminding, we keep on telling people. No. As God has forgiven us, we have to forgive us, others also. So here, we have to get into this new nature, the divine nature. And for which, here the media is claiming His precious and great promises, exceeding great promises. And they are very precious. The word of God, He has given us assurance. And God's word is leading to get into the newness of life. As we read from John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 3, Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Being born again, not this physical birth, but we should go through the spiritual death, the spiritual birth. We should be born again. We should reckon ourselves to be dead to our past life, to the sinful life. And we should be born again. And Jesus Christ put it in another way. As we read from Matthew's Gospel 4:17, Jesus Christ said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance. We have to feel sorry for every kind of sin. Our sinful attitude itself, our sinful thoughts, sinful life, sinful behavior, a thing which is not accepted in the sight of God. We have to sincerely, truly feel sorry about it. We have to confess before God. We have to confess without hiding anything, with all honesty, with all sincerity. And God gives a promise. In 1st Epistle of John and chapter 1 and verse 9, He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All our unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise it is. What a wonderful God it is. And also we read from 2 Corinthians and chapter 5 and verse 17. If there be any man in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new. New creation. So we should get into this newness of life, this divine nature. That is very, very essential, claiming the promises of God. And today we are going to see the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. He is faithful to the core. As we have seen during worship time, God is good all the time to all the people in every situation. And Jesus Christ was doing good to all people during his lifetime, as we read from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10 and verse 38. What a wonderful Savior. All the time he was doing good, healing people, forgiving people, consoling people, setting a great example, his good life. He expects his children to be good. And here we see God is faithful. God is faithful. And I want you to bring your attention to one verse in 2 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 13 for the faithfulness of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, it is written like this in the King James Version. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. This is the verse. I think most of you sitting here know Telugu language. Most of you. And if you see that verse in Telugu in your language, for most of you, in your native regional language, it is written like this in Telugu. Manamo nammadagani varamainanu ayana nammadagina vaduga undunu. You kindly follow very carefully. Manamo nammadagani varamainanu ayana nammadagina vaduga undunu. ఆయన తన స్వభావమునకు విరోధముగా ఏదియు చేయలేడు. ఇట్ ఈస్ రిటర్న్ లైక్ దిస్. మనము నమ్మదగని వారమైనను ఆయన నమ్మదగిన వాడుగా ఉండును. ఆయన తన స్వభావమునకు విరోధముగా ఏది చేయలేడు. ఇఫ్ యూ జస్ట్ పుట్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ఇంగ్లీష్, వాట్ ఈజ్ రిటర్న్ ఇన్ తెలుగు వెర్షన్ లైక్ దట్. ఈవెన్ దో వీ ఆర్ నాట్ ఫెయిత్ఫుల్, హీ షెల్ రిమైన్ టు బి ఫెయిత్ఫుల్. Even though we are unfaithful, manamu nammadagane varamainanu, even though if we are unfaithful, aina nammadagina vaduga undunu, he shall remain faithful. Aina tana swabhavamunaku virodhamaga ediyu cheyaledu, for he cannot do anything against his nature. Here the reason is, for he cannot do anything against his nature. What is his nature? Faithfulness. Faithfulness is the actual meaning. You can, for better understanding, it is trustworthiness. You can rely upon him. You can trust him in every situation, for every cause, in your personal life, or your family life, or your social life, or your secular job life, for your spiritual life. You can trust him. You can rely upon him. You can depend upon him because he's trustworthy. His faithfulness is so great. His faithfulness is so great. There are number of verses in the Word of God for any given subject. That is why our burden and prayer is to introduce the Word of God to people, so that we should read the Word of God again and again and again and again and again and again. We should spend more time in reading the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God prayerfully. God is not a respecter of persons. He reveals heavenly things to every individual who sincerely sits with him, with his word, prayerfully, and who is willing to know the things of God, the heavenly things. God is faithful, as we have been mentioning here. But here, in the beginning it is written, if we believe not. Now I have read this verse from 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 13th verse. 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 13th verse. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithfully, he cannot deny himself. Even though we are unfaithful, He shall remain faithful, for he cannot do anything against his nature. But what is our nature? Even though, if we believe not, we have to confess. Many times we fail in this aspect. In believing God and in accepting God, we have our own doubts. We exercise our doubts. That is the reason we are not able to see great things in our own lives. We are not able to experience the great things. And time and again in the Gospels, we see the words of Jesus Christ. If you believe, you shall see greater things. If you believe, many times he had to rebuke the people who came to him, even his own disciples, who failed to do certain great things. If you believe, do you believe? Sometimes when people came to him for healing, he said, do you believe that I can heal you? That was a simple question. And sometimes people said, yes, Lord, please help thou mine unbelief, so that I may not entertain any unbelief. Please help me, even in this aspect also. He wants to do great things. We fail. We fail in believing him and in accepting him. And also we fail to recognize his presence with us. His presence is always with us. But many times, we are not conscious of it. If we are really conscious of the fact that Lord is present with us all the time, I tell you, our behavior will be different. Our attitude will be different. Our talk will be different. We read about a man in the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Enoch, who was seventh from Adam, he lived for 365 years. And after 65 years, he started walking with God, the word of God says. Walking with God. He started walking with God at the age of 65. In the modern language, we can say that at the age of 65, he accepted the Lord. Let us think like that for convenience, for a better understanding. Because after obtaining 65th year, after begetting a son by name Methuselah, the word of God says he started walking with God. Methuselah means God's judgment. The day on which he dies, the judgment of God is going to fall upon the people. Exactly the same thing happened. At the death of Methuselah, these floodwaters came during Noah's time. And that man lived the longest life upon this earth, 969 years. That means God was patiently waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, giving scope to people so that they may repent of their lives and they may turn towards God. In the sixth chapter of Genesis, we find that Noah found grace in the sight of God. He was walking with God. He was the only man who was seen righteous. All other people, the word of God says, the world was full of evil. And there is a verse there, God repented for having created man. That means the evil of the human race was so unbearable to God. He has decided to destroy the whole world, even all the creatures. Only one man, Noah, found grace in the sight of God. And he and his family, we know the story, 8 people, Noah and his wife and 3 sons and 3 daughters-in-law, those 8 people were only saved from those great floods in the days of Noah. Anyway, this Enoch was seventh from Adam. This happened before the flood. Enoch's case. After 65th year, when his son was born, Methuselah, he heard about God's judgment. He got alert. Because God's judgment is going to fall. There is going to be destruction. And I should be very careful in my life. He started walking with God, the word of God says. And he walked for 300 years, the remaining part of his life. When he was 365, as we read from Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, he was taken away by the Lord, alive. There was no death for Enoch, no burial, no funeral, and no memorial service. All these things did not take place. He went away to be with the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is. How could he walk for 300 years? That is a great question. which you have to consider very seriously. And the writer to the Hebrews gives a clue about this Enoch and his walking with God and his being taken away by the Lord. As we read in 11th chapter, verses 5 and 6, before he was taken away by the Lord, his life was pleasing in the sight of God. His life was pleasing. Oh, what a wonderful it is. His life was pleasing in the sight of God. God gave a certificate that his life is pleasing. And how can we please God? Is it by giving more money? Or trying to live a life which is acceptable in his sight, or doing some service, or making some sacrifice, whatever it is. But there the clue is how it was pleasing in the sight of God. And he says, a person who comes to God must believe he had faith in God, so that his life was pleasing in the sight of God. This looks like a very simple thing. We have faith. We believe. And we are called believers. Because of a title we got. We call ourselves believers. Then it is very easy. Very simple. He believed in God. And his life was pleasing in the sight of God. And what is this belief? In the sixth verse it is written, the one who comes to God must believe that he is. That he is. And he is the rewarder of those who come to him and pray to him. He is. So all the time he was believing that God is there. If we have that consciousness in our lives, even when we sit in the kitchen or in the drawing room or driving to our office or working, we are at the working table, in every situation, we are conscious of the reality that God is with me. God is with me. Then we get alerted when God is there. Our behavior will be different. When nobody is there, maybe something. Our behavior may be some other thing. But when somebody is there, we'll be very cautious. When God is there, and God is looking at us all the time, and Lord is hearing all our conversation, and how careful about our words also. The words we use. And sometimes when we come to the place of worship, we may be more careful, more cautious. And once the time is over, when we go out of the worship place, we think we have got liberty. I got freedom. I can talk as I like. I can behave as I like. And once we reach home, and we may think this is my kingdom. And I am the king over here in my family. I can behave as I like. Can it happen like that? Never. Never. A child of God, whether he is sitting in the house of God, or sitting in a garden, or sitting in an office, or in his own house, everywhere, he should be conscious of the fact that God is there, watching all the time, and hearing all the time. There is a verse as told by Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 12, and verse 36. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 36, Matthew 12:36, we read here the words of Lord Jesus Christ. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Do we believe this wholeheartedly? How many Christians believe this verse? And if they really believe it, their life would have been something different. But it appears that most of the people are not believing this verse. Because the word of God says, as told by Jesus Christ, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Will the word of God go wrong? Has Jesus Christ told a lie? Will it be something different on the day of judgment? No, never. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not the words of God. And what all he has said. Every idle word. So what kind of words we are using? Sometimes people indulge in a lot of gossiping, a lot of backbiting. We talk about this person, we talk about that person, we talk about this family or that family, about this church or that church, about this pastor or that pastor. Are they necessary? Do we know the realities? We are unnecessarily indulging into the things ultimately which will bring us to the day of judgment. And another thing when we know that Lord is there with us, he is hearing what all we are talking, can we dare enough to speak the things which are unnecessary? Every word we will weigh. We will think twice before using a word. That is what a Christian ought to be. That is what the word of God teaches. So here, with this Enoch, the man of God, all the time he was conscious of the fact that Lord was with him. So we must always, because believing in God and his presence with us all the time, these things are very, very essential in our lives. And the faithfulness of God when we come to him, because what the things we are seeing, our unfaithfulness, our unbelief, so far what we have said, the negative aspects, the things that we, the process that we are going through. But God is something different. He's a faithful God, and there is trustworthiness in him. And even in the whole world, when he created, shall we read one verse in Psalm 119 and verse 90? Psalm 119 and verse 90, the word of God says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. All generations. Generation after generation after generation, God remains to be faithful. It is to all generations. Even our generation, our previous generation, and their previous generation, and their previous generation. You keep on thinking like that. To all generations, God is found to be faithful. God is faithful. Not only to the children of God, even to the heathen people, God is found to be faithful. We see so many things. Even when we consider for a moment the people of Nineveh, city of Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Assyrian people. These Assyrians were the dreaded enemies of God's children. But God told his prophet Jonah, you go to Nineveh. You have to speak to the people. Their life is not acceptable. There is evil. So there are 120,000 people in that nation, this in that city. You go there and preach gospel. What a concern God was having towards heathen people, that to the enemies of Israelites, these Assyrians, God sent his prophet. It shows how he is loving and faithful towards all generations. All the people, here the word of God says, thou hast established the earth and it abideth. He has established earth, this planet earth, God has established. And it is not going away. The same earth, right from day one of creation, even other planetary bodies, the same sun, the same moon, the same stars, they are not changing. So many millions and trillions of people are coming and going. They are disappearing. But as far as the earth is concerned, the sun is concerned, the moon is concerned, the stars are concerned, they are the same. God is faithful to keep them for the sake of all humanity. Did he ever withdraw sun at any time? For 1 week, if sun is not there, you just imagine the chaos that happens. Or the moon is not there. Other planets are not there. Because we know how these things are rotating and how these seasons are coming. And we are living in the normal situations in life. God kept it. And this earth, it abideth. God keeps, he doesn't withdraw. This entire earth belongs to him. But people are fighting for that. And people draw boundaries. This is mine. You cannot come. You cannot cross this. And people are fighting. People are taking guns. And people are using missiles. And some are preparing mass destructive weapons. Whatever it is, all border disputes. You are coming to my place. You are violating the airspace. But whose space it is? And whose earth it is? It belongs to him. The word of God says, your faithfulness is unto all generations.